It's all marketing. That's what I'm saying, Dan. You get the point? That's just marketing. If you drink enough blowjobs, what are you going to get later on? See the thinking? Doesn't work that way, does it, Stoner? Drinks ought to be named after shit that really happens to you. That would sound different. You're out with your buddies ordering stuff. Going, yeah, my buddy here, he'll take a sideways at 40 miles an hour into a tree. He'll take a get out of the car and touch your nose with your eyes closed. And I'll take a limp dick and can't do shit when I get home.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show. This is, this show number 42? I think it is.
That's correct, yeah.
Show number 42 in a continuing series of shows.
In a series of 4,597 podcasts.
That will never end. As long as you want them. As long as you continue to download them, we're going to keep making them.
I guess so.
That's like Jay Leno. What did he say about Doritos? Crunch all you want.
Crunch all you want. We'll make more.
We'll make more, so... Listen to these, love them, and we'll keep giving you new shows.
You do a good Leno. Give a little.
I do a good Leno. It's in the paper today about the Corey and Joel Radio Show. Did you see this, Kevin? It was in the paper there. I thought.
Is that right, Jay?
Your black man is impeccable. Can I tell you that?
Do you love that? Like, yeah, I love that. They used to have Branford Marsalis.
They had Branford Marsalis.
Yeah, he was the
they had the
guy,
lesser Marsalis.
And now they got Kevin Eubanks. So they just got some smiling Negro looking at. Oh yeah, Jay, you right, man. That's crazy. You crazy, Jay? Whatever you say, brother. Sign a check. Sign a check for me. I'm a smiling guitar player.
Well, you're going to have to cancel your Tonight Show booking.
Is that really?
If you're going to keep insulting the man like that.
Oh, okay.
Although I guess I am too.
Yeah. It was going to be me and Dakota Fanning.
Oh, right.
And Jack Hanna from the Columbus Zoo.
Oh, that would have been a good show.
Good show.
But speaking of good shows.
And Trick Daddy.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The best.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Speaking of good shows,
yeah,
the guy we've got sitting with us, you heard him at the top.
Oh, that's right.
With his sexy drink bit. Give it up for the one and only Bill Hildebrandt.
Yeah.
Our good friend. How you doing, Bill?
The sound of two hands clapping.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. Do you like that sound?
Anybody can do Tonight Show now. Wiggins was on it, for Christ's sake.
Jimmy Wiggins? Jimmy's your buddy.
Talk about ruining it. Jeez.
It's not the same as it used to be. It's not what it used to be. Once upon a time.
No.
The Tonight Show had a certain cachet.
Went on to become stars. Now he's got to have stars on to keep the thing going. You know, it's completely backwards.
Well, John Heffron was on. So, yeah, I mean, well, clearly, you know, the standards have slipped.
Heffron.
For those,
this is going to be an inside baseball show.
It sort of is inside. Let me play the role of outsider.
Set this up for a second.
And set up who everyone is here. Bill Hildebrandt, headline and comic, big favorite in the Midwest, a regular at the Riviera.
So favorite, I'm on show 42.
Well, we'll get to that.
And I live 5 miles away.
We'll get to that. But Bill is here. We love to have Bill. You're a regular at the Riviera in Las Vegas. You can see Bill out there, a couple times a year you're in Vegas?
Yeah.
At the Riviera. You can go check out Bill there.
That's the intro that he's memorized.
And because I've worked with you 10,000 times, and Bill's a very
all
funny
shit
dude.
Gigs too. Everyone a shit gig.
They've all been delightful.
We did a Home Depot together.
And I performed. Just for those of you, if you haven't figured it out by now, Bill is sort of the father figure. He's sort of the old veteran, the guy that's been around the block who tells you.
I call him the major domo.
Yeah. That would be one way to put it. He's
putting it kindly.
He's the wizard.
The sensei.
The wizard.
Yeah, the wizard. The sensei.
The sensei. And so, Bill has been, I've done a lot of gigs with Bill in a lot of various odd places, and not at Home Depot. You guys got me beat on that one.
Yeah, we did a Home Depot.
Bill and I remember doing one place where the DJ booth was in the middle of the floor, and like half the tables were behind us that we went and did. That was just a mess. Like, the people were eating dinner and, like, looking the other way.
Yeah,
and, like,
well,
you know.
That's half the gigs.
Yeah, Bill doesn't even know what gig that is because it describes so many of them.
I couldn't name the town or doing it with you. And, it, like, they had literally our backs were up to a DJ booth that was in the middle of the dance floor. And, like, half the tables were the other way.
But when you're doing a Christmas party in the plywood aisle of Home Depot.
Yeah, you can't really top
it. You're not going to forget that anytime.
They built a little stage in the loading dock, and it was like the... It was, what, the Christmas party for the staff?
Yeah.
Because the management had had their Christmas party.
Yeah, they had
their,
so this is for the hourly schmucks. And they spent all of $10 on this
And then
party.
One aisle.
That includes me
and
Joel.
What are you talking about? They turned on the popcorn machine.
Oh, man.
And they, you know.
In our,
they have a popcorn machine.
They didn't
machine
even fire up the
people?
Bratwurst machine. They let her, they let that lady go. I don't know what they ate, but it was horrible.
Who would eat the hot dogs that sit on that freaking roller?
Well, yeah,
all
if,
day
you, if you've been to Home Depot, they sell a hot dog as you're leaving. Because I guess it's like you don't have time to go eat if you're on the site or you're working on a project.
What would you rather put in your mouth? The hot dogs on that roller at 7-Eleven or R. Kelly's penis? What would you rather have in your mouth? Because those things are foul, aren't they? Just
the 7-Eleven hot dog?
Oh, you look, they got those.
Sorry
like,
to say, one of those two gets washed occasionally.
Yeah. They got those little tubes of death that are rolling on that little thing and the heat lamp. And they got taquitos. That it's like we're deep frying cheese. What do you think? How about you? I like that. We'll just put some sour cream.
Is taquito actually even
cream cheese in there?
A Mexican word?
No,
that's like Americans making shit up now in other languages. Isn't that weird?
Oh yeah,
taquito.
But it sounds like it sounds Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, you think a chalupa is a real thing? Give me a break.
That's my point.
No, they just make that crap up. Oh yeah.
But Bill, we're going to see Bull. You're going to hear a lot of Bill today, so you're going to enjoy it.
I think you said we're going to hear a lot
of
Bull.
Soak it all in.
We're going to hear a lot of Bull when Bill's
soak it all in. Because this is, imagine, this is
you
for
just
everyone.
Just blurt out names and situations, and I'll for, give for you every, a scoop.
For everyone that's not.
It's like improv.
For everyone.
Swedish porno no. on a roller coaster.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Yeah. But for everyone that's not a stand-up comic in the Midwest that gets to sit with Bill at the bar after a show and have drinks, this is, we're putting you in that place right now. We're taking you there.
And speaking of drinks, we might want to explain today's significance, too.
Okay, should we explain? Do you want to explain why Bill is actually here, Corey? Although we love Bill, we've explained why he's here. He's a great comic.
Yeah, show 42.
Sure, but I can tell 42. You why Bill's here.
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Sal D'Amelio was here before.
Hey.
Sal is the...
Whoa, I'll go one better. Jim McLean was in here before.
McLean did this before.
Yeah, I will... Don't keep dogging on D'Amelio.
So Keith Pelt was busy.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
You know, look, we're going to name a lot of people no one knows in this show, and that's fine. But, Bill, we had...
I think your audience knows him.
Bill, we've always wanted to have you on the show because you're a damned entertaining fellow, and... our original guest canceled.
Yeah.
So that's why you're here now.
I know, and I'm dying to find out who that is.
But we originally...
I am going to show you a photograph of one of the guests.
And if you're on the mailing list, you've seen this guest.
You've seen this photo already.
Okay.
There's a photograph of one of the guests we were going to have in.
Already.
I can't see what you're showing, but I know what it is.
I got a tattoo on my ass, too.
Yeah.
We had some chicks lined up for the show. One of them is a comedian, a female comic. Laura, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and her sister, who's then they're a load of fun because they drink and they go crazy.
Notice the look on my face when you say female.
Yeah, I know. Oh, absolutely.
Well, who in the hell would that be?
So they were booked.
No, it's the funny one.
They were booked for the show.
Oh, yeah, her. I thought she died.
Yeah. You're such a ray of joy and sunshine in this holiday week.
Joan Rivers is coming in?
No, I mean, there's really no really funny women out there. I mean, you're kind of stuck when people call you up. I get that all the time. We'd like a funny woman, and you're like, shit. You know, who am I going to sound?
It's so true. And I tell, like, you know, about 3-4 times a year, like, some cute young girl will try and do comedy at an open mic or something.
But that always works. If they're cute and they're young, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
But boy, she's fucking great.
They'll quit after, like, 5 minutes, though. They'll do it a couple times. And I always tell these girls, I go, stick around. Yeah. You'll make a fortune. Because you'll work every week.
Because they're attracting losers like us after the show, and that's why I'm out of it. Mr. Wonderful isn't in the audience going, oh, she's marvelous.
Schmucks
like you, me, and Joel going, hey, I'll teach you about comedy if you want to come over to my house.
You want something to entice bookers to hire you to perform in your club? Have a vagina, because bookers will try to bang
you.
If you have a male,
well, it depends what you're in. If it's a male booker, then they're going to want to book sexy young women. If you have a female booker.
There are a couple female bookers.
And they want to bang black guys, apparently.
Yeah.
But that's a little inside.
Whoa.
I don't want to get into that. But
send those letters to Joel.
Man, I'll suck your dick real good, brother.
No, but you know what I'm talking about, Bill. We know about her. So, anyway, let's go on. So Bill is here as sort of a replacement guest. But Bill, I remember I originally emailed you when I told you we were doing a show. And I sort of wrote this sarcastic comment. You probably remember this, Corey. I go, yeah, we need to hear your stories about Gabe Kaplan. And then you emailed
Gabe
me back
Kaplan
and went
and
like
Soupy
and Soupy then, sales and everything.
Corey, you know, jumps in later, you know, when I see him down the road going, yeah, you can talk to us about yes. You know, just
you want any as I play Soupy sales theme song. Do you have anything to add on Soupy?
You know Soupy. Well, Jim McClain gave us a couple of superstars. He's about Soupy getting a blowjob in the back of a limo.
Yeah.
Go get that show
like
if you haven't.
You like
a, yeah. Hey. Put your hands in the air
and pinch.
Screw that.
So what do you got? What's your Soupy story?
Well, and Jim probably told you about how he whizzes in the champagne.
He whizzes in the champagne bucket. Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to go to the bathroom where the regular folks
right.
are.
What's not to like about that?
But I mean, the guy was, look, once you got to know him, he was all right. But he was, God, he was after the women.
Why does he talk like that?
He was after the women. That's just the way he talked.
He talked like an old jazz bow.
Yeah. He called me on the phone and goes, oh, yeah. You know, he sounded half like the dog. You know? Remember White Fang?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mix. Yeah. Oh, Bill, Soupy, you know. Okay. Yeah, you got to try to get us a gig together. This guy has been in show business forever.
Oh, what's that? I thought you turned off the cell phone.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Guy's been in show business forever, and he's calling me looking for work. It's supposed to be the other way around.
Right.
He's supposed to, I'm supposed to ride his coattails. But we went to, a Coney Island one night after a show. He wanted to go get some breakfast. And we walk into this place, and the lady says, where would you like to sit? And he says, clear enough and loud enough for everybody in the place to hear, let's sit over here. There's more pussy. Now, for a kid's show idol, you wouldn't expect that to come out of his mouth, but that's the way it was, man. Yeah. He was girl crazy.
I've heard this story about Soupy. Did a guy have a heart attack during the show? Or
I was in Belleville. Okay. There used to be a Joey's in Belleville. It's a gas station now as well. It should be. And a guy actually had a heart attack during the show.
Okay.
So the guy collapses. There's only just me and Soupy on the show. The guy collapses, and the first thing Soupy says is, oh, did he eat here? Because we'd all had, we just had got done having dinner, so this guy collapses. So what does he say? He says, oh, Bill, he says, you go up and do some time until the ambulance comes and hauls this guy out of here. And they got people working him. There's a nurse over there blowing in his face, and other guys pushing on this guy's chest. Right. And I'm up there trying to do comedy.
Well,
and I'm saying inappropriate shit like, oh, man, looks like I killed, stuff like that. And they finally hauled a guy out of there, and Soupy came back.
Oh, that's sad.
But, I mean, he was one of these professionals that would actually have show clothes that he just wore for the show.
Uh-huh.
And he'd bring two different sets if there was two shows. And if you weren't careful, you could walk in the back room and catch him standing there. He didn't wear underwear. He wore a jock strap. I'm serious.
Wow, that's more information.
He wore a jockstrap, and he'd be lying in a chair and just this goddamn jockstrap, nothing else on him, so, he could cool off before he put on the fresh set of clothes.
I heard
that was always a visual.
I heard Rodney Dangerfield would walk around in his robe all the time, just balls hanging out, old saddlebag balls dropping around everywhere.
Buddy mine opened for Carol Channing, same thing. He had to take something to her door, and
her
robe
balls,
was just
her balls
flapping
were
open.
Flapping
her balls were flapping.
Oh, God.
Carol Channing's on my Deadpool die already.
Can she die? She's got a month for you.
80% of the people listening to this got no idea who she's with.
Well,
so you're going to have to bear with me.
Well, hello, Dolly. Yes, hello, Dolly.
You don't see her anymore. That's why I put her on my Deadpool.
Louis Armstrong was. You were just doing.
But she's like this. She talks with
the. They're going to have to get a video component to this.
You think so? Do you think people want to see
this?
This
is funny enough.
Isn't this a luxurious studio, though?
We have
marvelous.
We have radio faces, folks. That's why there's
and
no
Bill
video.
Really. Bill is like you and I if we had a kid and he was 50 years old. And
Bill, well, a lot of times, what we'll do is we'll hold Bill's headset up next to Joel's and we'll be like, look. It's like Joel got kidnapped, and that's a time progression. What he'd look like 20
I'm
years
known
later.
As Bill Hildebrand Jr. in the comedy business. I have sort of a nickname of that.
He's mini me.
And now I see I cut my hair short, too, and I think it just heightens the resemblance.
Makes it worse.
I know.
Yeah.
It's almost a curse.
No, my goodness.
If I get a stomachache one day, I'm going to call you and see if you've got one. It might be some sort of a voodoo doll.
Am I the voodoo
on.
Doll version
Something
of
Something happens to him, and it starts to happen to me, too.
Well.
Oh.
You got any Gabe Kaplan stories since we already mentioned him?
No, Gabe was just a low level guy.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got no energy on stage. He's and he's all right, but I
He was, for those of you know, he was Mr. Cotter on Welcome.
But let me tell you,
Cotter,
and because of what today happens to be, the anniversary that we're,
Going
to be celebrating here, this will segue right into that.
Oh, okay.
Because the first time I worked with him, he actually takes me out to dinner between shows, you know? And I'm having a regular conversation with this guy. I mean, he's talking like, you know, some of these guys don't open up. But he says to me, we're working this place up in Flint that's not there anymore, called Mr. G's. And we're working, and we're sitting there having steak. He's from L.A. I'm thinking he might have a salad. No, he's eating steak. I'm thinking, this is my kind of guy. And then he, out of nowhere, he says, oh, I don't think I can take the road anymore. And I looked at him and said, you know, they flew you in here, first class, picked you up in a limo. You're staying in the best hotel in the area, and you're calling that the road?
Yeah.
Well, he stops eating, sets his fork and his knife down. I'm going, uh-oh. I've done it now. And he says, let me tell you something. He says, I got started in this business in the 50s. There were no comedy clubs. We did strip clubs. And you would do them for 6 months at a time, and then you would move on to the strip club. There actually was a circuit. That's where everybody gets that from.
The circuit.
Are you on the circuit? There is no circuit anymore. Right. I wish there was.
Yeah.
He says, I worked for Jack Ruby, and he threatened to kill me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I was dating one of the dancers, and it turned out that she used to be one of his girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
He says, that guy threatened to kill me, and I believed it.
Wow.
And when he ended up... Jack Ruby ended up shooting Oswald. He says, I wasn't the least bit surprised. He says, that was typical, Jack Ruby.
Wow. So Mr. Cotter knew all about the, he was in. He was an inside man.
Oh, big
Did
time.
He testify in the Warren Commission?
I don't know if they talked to
well,
him.
Well, it's funny you bring up Jack Ruby, because this is today, November 23rd.
It's November 22nd.
Oh, sorry.
Of 19. Corey, oh, listen to that.
Hold still, Kennedy.
Over here.
Damn,
Jack.
Limo's going too fast.
Wave.
Oh, that was a grassy knoll shot.
Yeah,
right
that was.
There.
Hold on, wait, there's one more. I think this is. Was that the overpass? Where was
that?
That
one sounded different.
Yeah. That was
Where
one
did that
just
one
about
come
the time
from?
Jackie was getting the hell out of the car. Everybody's going, she's going to help the Secret Service. No, she was getting her ass out of the back seat. She wasn't helping anybody.
She was bailing out. She was running in a crawl.
Yeah, that was 30, was that? No, 40, 42 years ago.
If Clint Eastwood had just had a couple more steps, he would have
gotten
in the way. Yes,
I saw the movie. I couldn't understand that. He'd have been on it.
Yeah, it's the Kennedy anniversary.
But he'd been drinking the night before.
That was
And to celebrate the death of the president... we're going to be drinking in here. So
we're
going to
do some shots.
We're doing three shots.
We're going to have
do three
pictures
shots.
Online of the
I'm not
that
doing
have.
That one. I'll tell
Bill,
you
Bill, what would you like? The vodka?
I'll take that
you
one.
You want
yeah.
that one? Okay, we'll give Bill
We're doing three shots in honor of Kennedy. That's good. That's
me.
Fine.
Okay,
yeah, we don't have
give me the right, give me the hot damn.
Overdo it. It's noon on Sunday.
Joel's going to have
Corey's tending bar, by the way.
Yeah.
If he's off mic a little bit, he's just getting
Can I have your glass there, Joel?
Do I have a glass?
I gave you one, yeah. You have the Michigan
State. No, I do. Here.
Yeah, he's got one. He's got the Michigan
Is that enough
State
for you there?
Player.
That's more than enough for
All
me.
Right.
It's very early in the day to be doing this, by the way.
You don't have a glass in this house that matches, do you? I remember
Not
being a bachelor. Those were the days, man.
The glasses don't need to match.
Didn't
I'm not married.
Nothing matched.
And there's chicks that live here, too.
Two different pillowcases. Who gives a shit? Socks don't match.
I got four
Who's
different.
Watching?
All right. Now, this is ironic, too, because had we had...
You know, he has a girlfriend, and I was hoping she was going to... I thought maybe she would
She was maybe
going to
sit in today,
bit.
But yeah.
I thought she was going to maybe... But no, that's not happened. Look at this, like, no new sheets or anything.
No.
Usually the girl comes in, changes you over a little bit.
Yeah.
Wardrobe. I thought maybe that was going to happen for Joel. Didn't happen.
No, the girlfriend actually bought the sheets that are on my bed now, which... Yeah.
He's, all right, so see, a little bit of civilizing comes
he's
along.
He's like a rubber mattress. He's resistant.
So now there's three shots. Does that mean one each or three each?
Well, you know, that's debatable. See,
okay, so I'm going to do my
some
shot.
Some people think there were as many six shots.
Okay, so we're going to do shots for Kennedy. Three
and Corey's
shots.
Corey's going for the Jaeger. What do you got, Joel? You got the
hot damn.
Hot damn
100, and you've got
some sort of lime flavored
bison
vodka.
Grass vodka.
Yeah.
I got Kool-Aid vodka.
No, it's actually not flavored. It's straight.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
good.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Well, Corey, you
it's
do
got a little
the toast,
flavor.
Bro.
Okay, here... It's to the brain splattered on Jackie's dress. It's a tribute to a president who really liked his pussy. Let's give it up for John.
All right, there we go. Down the hatch.
According to Hustler, it was a fuzzy one at that.
All right, now here's the first shot Joel's doing from the book depository. All right, then the second
There's
shot following immediately sounded like it came from the grassy knoll. And then
here it comes. Corey with the...
With the sewer grate
shot. That shot came from the sewer grate, absolutely.
According to the X-Files.
Corey people. Drinking room temperature Jägermeister, I think. Ooh. That was the most difficult shot, was the third one.
Yeah, I think so.
It was hard to make
I think
that
the
one.
Third one was
that
the
shot
most
was
difficult.
Hard to achieve. Oh.
Well, all right. So
Joel and I argue about the Kennedy assassination a lot, but,
yeah.
You know.
Where do you stand on that?
He's dead.
I know, but here's my take is Oswald acted alone. That's what I believe, and Corey believes that 85 guys conspired to kill him.
No, I just have room for doubt. There's so much hinky stuff in terms of what...
Yeah.
Test, you know, it's hard for me to get a clear picture.
I kind of want to go with the grassy knoll guy.
Yeah.
Especially after evidence they had on the Discovery Channel where they blew up the negative and they actually have an outline of a guy that was described by a person that was there, of a guy in a policeman's uniform with a rifle. Mm. Have you seen that, Joel?
I've seen it. I looked at that and said, you know, there were cops.
There were cops all over the place.
Yeah.
So it was real easy to be confusing.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It was a chaotic scene, and I just
and
have
when a
lot
guy
of
stands there and says a shot came over his shoulder, I believe him. He was
okay.
Standing right there. So
Joel read a book by Gerald Posner, and that sealed the deal for him.
And it's not, no. I read about 15 books about the Kennedy assassination. Yeah. 42. And that you're
it took way too long.
Well,
to
it will, but I am glad to have you here, Bill, because I got something. No more bitches on the show. I am tired.
That's true, though.
I am so tired of skirts and broads.
Well,
we've had a lot of girls on lately.
On the radio, you mean?
We've had two girls.
I'm tired of them in regular life too. I swear to
God. Bill, we're saying, first of all, where do you want to go with this?
You're a
professional.
Well, but yeah, once you
we had a lot of comics on, and we said, you know what? Maybe let's slow down the comedians.
Well, but also we had to establish ourselves as a show worthy to have you on.
I understand.
When the talk show first comes on, they don't get. They don't get Mel Gibson first off. You know, they open with the guy from Scrubs or something.
Sure.
And then they work our way up.
Exactly.
Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, so they work their way up with the guests. The guests get better. Conan couldn't get good guests.
Yeah, okay.
For
tonight
years.
On the program, Misha Barton.
Yeah.
The third lead on CSI Miami.
Yeah.
And
the black guy from Star Trek.
That black guy.
Yeah.
You know the one. Now, the Chinese guy from Voyager. Harry Kim. Here he is.
But now we got good guests because we're an established show. We're an entity.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, there you go.
Well, let's get back on topic then because all this current pop culture shit, I don't know anything about.
Okay, but we're talking about...
I mean, half these people, you know, I wouldn't run... I look at the credits of a movie and I go, I wouldn't even know this person if they were sitting next to me in a restaurant.
Right. Okay.
I wouldn't even know who this is.
It's okay. I've gone on interviews sometimes and didn't know who these people were.
Well, all right. Well, now you know what I'm talking about.
Hey, do you tell me you don't watch... But Can They Sing? Are you telling me you haven't watched that masterpiece?
I can't believe the shit that's on TV. We're watching people clean their garages out. There's actually a show that,
you're absolutely
that
right.
does that.
Yeah.
Now they got one where we can watch people get tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, hold me back.
That's
nuts.
Watch guys build
and
motorcycles.
Now let's watch celebrities learn how to dance. Yeah, isn't that marvelous?
How come that was a massive hit?
I got no idea.
You can't get 12.
It's a chick program. It's all women. There isn't a single guy watching.
You know,
that.
You can't get 12 people to watch Arrested Development in a week, but you can get 5 billion to watch that freaking. You know, you're right. House Swap, where there's like 5,000 shows like What to Wear.
I'd rather watch reruns of Growing Pains. Anything.
There's whole channels. There's like Style Network that it's just all day. It's just, you know, what outfit? What shoes should I wear with these pants? You know, it's just like that's the whole network.
I know.
You know.
It's nuts.
Oh, we talk a lot of TV.
And I love watching VH1 where they, you know, like I love the 80s and shit like that. And they've got all these people on that are commenting on shit that wasn't even.
Don't you love
they
that?
Weren't even alive when the shit was happening, but they got a comment
yeah.
on
oh,
it.
Yeah.
And it always says like, Marty Smith, actor, comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of this guy.
Right.
And there's a show load of them. It's not just him.
Like, oh, yeah.
They'll show 40 of these guys. Go actor, comedian. I'm going, you know, I book shit. He doesn't even show up in anybody's mass mailing
We have railed about this over and over again on this show because I can't stand the asshole with the gap tooth on Best Week Ever, Paul
Scheer.
Oh, God, I want to punch that.
Well.
I want to knock that other tooth out.
I understand that.
But these guys get paid like nothing. You know, they get paid basically what you get a weekend at, you know, Joey's.
No.
And so, yeah, nothing to do this show. So everybody's like, you're on television, but they're getting scale or less than scale.
Yeah, I know. It, but know. Still, it's still
grinds.
It rankles you.
Yeah.
It rankles you after 45 years in the business.
Me. You're a curmudgeon.
After 45
years
in the business.
70 years of being in the streets. 75 years of eating out of dumpsters and trying to make it to this show.
I remember when you opened for Fred Allen on the Colgate Mercury Theater, and it was
I turned to George Burns. I was sweating like a faggot eating a corn dog, and George had the best advice I'd ever heard. He said, get a partner like this broad I got with me.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Bill, but so are you bummed?
Speaking of partners, you're married, right, Bill?
Yeah. Oh, how? Yeah.
Is that still going
on? Ask me how my wife is.
How is your wife?
She should be running out of air just about now.
Oh, that's delightful.
This is marriage number what? Two?
This is three.
It's three. You're on the third marriage.
I've given away more houses than the Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. And now, are you...
Speaking of old comics, that was Kippadotta that was calling.
Are you serious?
Oh, really? Kippadotta?
I'm serious. That was Kip.
What the hell is that shit?
That's Kip Adana. That's what that was. Was that Kip? Was that actually a clip of him?
No. I don't know.
But, Bill, you know, three marriages, and how do you, what's the best reason to get married? Insurance? Is that what it is at this point for you? What's going on?
No, at this point, there is no reason.
Yeah.
Should have asked me after number two.
What was the reason?
Now there is no reason to get married. Yeah, it's a long story.
Is it?
Yeah.
We got about 60 minutes of show left.
It's
if you
not
feel.
Entertaining.
Really?
It's not very
fun. I'm laughing. I'm smiling.
I'm riveted.
Yeah. I'm good here.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are tearing me up.
Well, I talk about my relationship with my girlfriend. She's been on the show.
Yeah, but and, if you break up, it's not going to cost
about,
you anything.
Not really.
I talk about my relationship with pornography.
I'm tired of, and, tired of dividing up my shit. You know, she wanted to buy a big screen TV the other day, and I told her, I'm not fucking buying anything I can't saw in half.
Actually, you know, I'm moving soon, and so I think I need a chick to take half my stuff. I got too much shit to move. It's a pain in the ass. See, look at it that way, Bill.
Yeah.
The next time you move, half your shit's gone. You don't have to haul
just
that
around. Just how heavy
anymore?
Is your bank account?
Are
you giving her half that shit to haul for you?
She can get the whole $30. It's going to be exciting.
That's why I went into comedy, second time I got divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a true story.
Really?
It was like bankruptcy? What? Is that what you went into comedy to protect your assets? You said, look, bitch, you can't take half of nothing.
That's exactly right. Hey, look, you know, you guys don't know shit about me, man. I divorced an attorney.
Yeah?
She taught me more about divorce than I ever really needed to know.
Okay. Yeah.
And of course, you know, because we had a couple kids, the judge says, well, you know, you'll get 30% of everything he makes, you know, until the son grows cold. Yeah. And I said, well... Take 30% of this and went into comedy. She didn't need my money sitting there on a fucking horse ranch.
Yeah.
10 acres and shit. And she's
get paid in cash and roadhead.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, how's she gonna get half of that?
She's about 30 blowjobs behind.
I guess I'll tell this funny road story. We were in
does this involve you and me?
Yeah. No, me and you.
You want to
and
ask
some other people
before you tell it?
No, I can tell this story. This is a funny story. We're in Big Rapids, Michigan. That's the home of Ferris State University. Remember Ferris? Remember we went up there, Big Rapids? And they had that comedy club in the, I think it was in the Holiday Inn.
The Dog Pound.
The Dog Pound, yeah. So we went up there and it was
I love these names for these comedy clubs.
Chucklers. Giggle Factory.
It was
Comedy Castle.
Banquet Room
Milk
number
through
12.
The nose.
Chuckle Dungeon.
Uh-huh.
So,
Rib Ticklers.
Milk through the nose. That would be funny.
So knee slappers.
Sent to your room.
We're at the Dog Pound, which was like banquet hall number 3 of the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm
sorry. And it's all college kids, and you don't even like playing for college
punks.
Kids. Punks. Yeah.
They're punks.
I like college kids.
They're too cool for the room. They're punks.
We did good, though. We had a good
looking
show.
At me like, you're the reason we left home in the first place. Hey, Jason, look, it's your dad. Punks.
All right. Yeah, all right. We're at the college, and we're doing the show.
Yeah.
And I talked to some girls after the show. They're going to a bar, and they're like, this is our favorite bar. Come on out. And I invited you. I said, Bill,
Joel got picked up.
Well, yeah, this is when I was single.
He's the goddamn opener. I'm the star of the show. And he lands like three goddamn, there were three of them.
There was like three college
and,
girls.
And,
three
and women. Pictures of that were available to the bonus
club. We gave that, well, yeah, I'll get to that point.
And begrudgingly, he says to me, because it's protocol, you want to join us at the But I could see in his eyes, he's going, God damn it, don't come anywhere near me, man.
No,
I stand
it
a chance
like that,
with
man.
The fat one over here.
We can't have a stiff ruin it for us.
No. So I said to Bill, come on out to the bar with us. And we all drove over there, and we get in, and I think Bill had come a little bit later than us. Bill walks in, and it's all college kids. Now, I'm 5, 6, 7 years older probably than the college. Most of the kids are in there. And then Bill walks in, and I see him, and I pretend like I don't know him, and I go, "Narc!" And for the rest of the night, yeah. People thought Bill was a narc. All the college kids were afraid of him.
Black kids are all going 5-0.
Except for, and this is great, I actually have pictures of this, was the one.
Oh, you are a narc.
This is where, if you were on the mailing list and you got where we were signing boobs, the chicks that was on, that was from that night in Big Rapids. And Bill signed some boobs.
Yep.
And then Bill ended up, while I was hitting on the broads and playing darts and shit, you talked to some stoner about Yes for about an hour. That was great.
Yes, I did.
He found some dude in a sweater and a big giant beard who smoked too much pot who listened to Yes. Do you have any Yes for us, Corey?
I do.
Play a little bit, maybe.
He's too busy over here looking. Corey,
I don't know what he's got going on.
What
do you got going on over there?
Yeah, you want some Yes?
Yeah, get some Yes, brother. Get some. Is this one you like, Bill?
No.
This isn't one Bill likes. Bill likes the other one. There you go.
You don't like this
one. Oh, man. This is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill goes, we were like, hey, you want some Yes before the show? Bill runs off play 35 fucking titles to us. And it's like, oh, which one do you want to hear? I don't know. Nah, that one's no good. Nah. Eh.
But Bill was-
and that's the problem with guys who listen to this prog rock crap. It's like, you got to get the live from Edinburgh in 1978.
And
that's
it,
the best.
Get it
song.
On vinyl.
It's on track 3rd. It's track 27 on side B. Mm. You're like, stop.
Look, no doubt about it.
Yes, Asia, Emerson, Lake, and goddamn motherfucking Palmer.
Oh, yeah, we can't talk about those guys.
Oh, Jesus.
But Bill was telling the guy about, like, all
Come
the...
on, we're jamming out.
Didn't you open for Yes once? Did you actually, no, you didn't open for Yes or not yet?
No, but I got backstage.
You got backstage.
Yeah, a couple of concerts,
yeah.
You don't like this one?
No, here, I don't like this.
All right, we'll get
play
you
the
no,
other
we'll
one.
Get you
play the other one.
No,
play.
here's the long and short of it. When I was in college, see, I thought I wanted to be in radio.
This track's a convenient 10 minutes. The other one was 8. That's the other thing. Why are these prog songs all 22 minutes?
That's how long the joint lasts.
You know what? Because when they're doing it live, it took like 6 minutes to drop Neil Peart's drum kit from the ceiling.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and it comes down in a riser with there's like dwarves and like angels on the thing lowering it
just
down.
Just like Spinal Tap. It took so long for the pods to open and let the musicians out. Those were the days, man. I used to love those stage shows.
I'd say he didn't like the old song, but he likes this one.
This one he likes. Isn't so much different.
This is such folky music, I swear.
No,
to
you see,
this is the oldest old man music. I mean, look, if you're in a CCR, maybe you'd be a little bit of an older guy.
Look, but I didn't go for any of that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't listen to that. No, I didn't go for CCR. I wasn't an Eagles
fan. You were into
fan.
Floyd and stuff? And
I was, yes. I was a head case, man. Floyd, Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer, yes, all that. Genesis.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah.
But that's because I was a keyboard guy, and these bands all had this keyboard shit in it that all had to be programmed.
It wasn't
piano. I'm talking about they had synthesizers. No. What's a Mellotron? You know what a Mellotron is,
Yeah,
Corey?
It's a big organ.
And all right, but
yeah.
What was the key to the way it worked?
What was the key? I don't know.
Didn't it sample stringed instruments? Was
yes,
that the idea?
Yes, it sampled, but how did it sample them?
Did it use air?
There was a small elf. There were a series of small elves inside.
Yes, played from a tree. And when they weren't baking cookies, they were in the band inside the organ. Past the bomb.
There were wee pixies in the Mellotron that played in little fiddles.
Isn't there like
Jethro goddamn
a commercial we could go to about an hour or something like that? Was a perfect commercial break right there.
Hold on. I'm high as a kite here right now. Hold on.
How's your shot going?
It's time for
I'm ready for another.
Bill's ready for another. Let's
do
another
shot.
I'm
getting fed up with you guys.
Oh, come on, Bill. We love
you.
No,
I'm trying to tell you, man. I had a real connection with this shit because
I was a Mellotron. I'm sorry. I made fun of Mellotron. It really worked through a series of radio transmit. It was with vacuum tubes. Is that how that thing works? How does that work?
Even weirder than that, man.
Would you like to change it up a little tequila, maybe?
No. Give me some Jaeger.
You want some Jaeger?
Yeah.
All right.
The Mellotron actually had recording tape in it.
Oh, I got you.
For each key. And every time you pushed a key on a regular keyboard, not a, you know, a typewriter keyboard,
yeah,
piano keyboard, it played a tape. So you know, if you held four notes down, you were actually...
But you like this song.
So you're playing four pieces of tape.
Oh, okay.
The Mellotron's going to kick in a minute.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking
stop.
About. Then you'll know what I'm talking
no,
about.
I'm seriously... Yes plays like old people fuck. I mean, this is just bad music.
Yes.
Oh my
what
God.
What about Hawkwind? Are you into them?
No.
No?
Little Jimmy.
Is that the Mellotron
no,
there?
No.
No. No.
The Mellotron comes in at the 7 minute mark, Joel.
It
Come
does.
On, don't be crazy.
Seven minutes, 30 seconds. 7:32.
Joel, don't be crazy now.
No, I know. No.
Right when other bands have done three songs is when the Mellotron comes on.
But the most popular thing you normally heard off the Mellotron was violins, because that was the thing that reproduced the best. But sometimes you had flutes. They have a piece where there's like voices where they do the Hallelujah chorus, and that's off the Mellotron. Well, I had one of these. And I had
right.
the only one in the state of Michigan.
See, you had the only
and I used
Mellotron.
To rent the thing out to these recording studios.
Really?
Yes.
But
so
see,
here
this
it is.
Is real this is, dorky tech
So the
kind
violins
of stuff,
you're hearing back here is actually this machine called a Mellotron, and it was clunky as hell. To
so
play.
Where can we hear your Mellotron? Who had question
got,
mark in the Mysterians around there?
Of it.
Yeah.
Question.
Well, they were from Michigan, weren't they?
Lightning Hopkins.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Bumblebee Slim. Who did you record
this is,
with?
This is the Mellotron here.
This is where the Mellotron is?
Sitting here with two guys that have never dropped acid.
Oh, come on.
Corey, you've dropped acid?
Don't, come on. Don't guess what I've done.
Down the hatch there.
All right, let's do a shot.
So I don't have one, but that's all right. You can throw me the hot damn on today.
I hope you get letters for defiling this team.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we'll get letters. Because guys who listen to this shit have the internet. Come on. Come on.
You're
killing
me.
Oh. All right, I used to work in a record store. I used to work in a record store, and the guys who were into prog, and there'd be like a couple guys,
yeah,
a couple old Heshers would come in. You know, guys like 46, 47.
Old farts.
Yeah.
Really, really old people.
You know,
yeah,
still rocking the mullet.
Yeah.
They'd come in every going, and they'd ask, it would never be just like, can I just have, you know, whatever the album was. It was always like they were looking for some live set from Tokyo. Recorded in the back of a fucking bodega. You know, it's like, it was always like somewhere. No, man, the Royal Albert Hall, man, in the dressing room. You got to hear those
recordings. Had a 10-second riff that the other stuff didn't have in it, and you wanted the riff. And you had to have that part.
Now, when I was kind of in high school, I was kind of into krautrock, which is
Kraftwerk.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was into like Can and Noi and stuff. And those guys are equally dorky and techie, but not in the same
Who
kind
did
of
that,
faggy
that
way.
In Cars, standing.
That was Gary Newman.
Yeah, was that you, Corey?
No, that's about? More. That's like new wave.
That's dry heave music.
Yeah, I agree with that. But speaking of music, I think we're gonna get ready for our break here, Corey. If you can.
Yeah.
But let me just quickly.
This is my jam.
Yeah, this is Corey's music right here. Corey likes to take his shirt off and dance.
I do. I like to put on glitter and pink tank top and dance around in this until all there's the end.
But,
that's faggot stuff.
That is faggot.
And
you want to call it by its name, that's strictly for fags.
No,
that's
right. Here, wait, hold on. I'm going to play you side three from Asia's triple album.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's hot. I love
yeah.
that.
That's what it is to me. I hear that clap and I just pass the bong. Oh, God.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm actually going to do... Let's see. We're going to take a break here, people.
Enough on prog rock.
We're going to play... We're actually playing the Cooper Temple
Here's
Claws today.
Here's a contemporary band that I haven't heard. So here we go.
The Cooper Temple Claws. But let me do a couple plugs. Can I get a couple plugs
sure.
in first for that? December 1st, which is next week, if you're listening to this in Thanksgiving week in the United States, Corey and Joel live at Club Bart. So come out to Club Bart in Ferndale. We'll put directions up on the website to come see us at Club Bart. Be part of the show. We're going to record it live. Have lots of good stand-up. Bill, you're invited. Come do a set.
First
live.
Weekend in January, I'm at the castle. Fuck Club Bart.
All right.
No, go see.
We're
the
doing
Bart,
our live show.
Have the Bart experience.
Yeah, we're going to do the live. We're going to be right on stage. We're going to have comics.
We're doing this
and
show there.
If you want to stop by Thursday night, December 1st, you stop by, do a set. Let everyone hear your comedy live on the air.
Punks again.
And then December 30th and 31st, that's New Year's Eve. Joel, myself, and Bill Hildebrand at Joey's in Dearborn.
Yes.
Joey's Comedy Club in Dearborn. So,
yes.
What's the website for Joey's Comedy Club?
Joey's Comedy Club.
Joey's Comedy Club.
Yeah, it pretty much comes up before
Joey's
the
Dearborn. Joey's Comedy. It's Joey's in Dearborn. Yeah. We're going to be there New Year's Eve, so come back. We're going to come back with more show right after this break. Here's the Cooper Temple Clause. And we'll be back after this.
Our little secret zone. But how do we get here at this height? And what's this talk of dead weight? I know we always drink, but we don't always fight.
All right, we're back here with show 42. That was the Cooper Temple Clause from Kick Up the Fire and Let the Flames.
The Eels are a pretty good band.
Yeah, I love the Eels.
There you go. No,
we were talking about
going
more music.
To Susan's house, great tune.
Bill is a good guy to hang out with. We bust his balls. We knock him around a little bit, but Bill, honestly, compared to most comedians,
you can't hurt me. You're punks.
Yeah. Oh, listen to that.
Punks.
That's all right, but Bill.
Impressive.
Thank you, Darth. And
that's kind of—I look at you kind of like the Darth Vader of comedy.
You kind of are. You sort of have a thing about you. That's,
if I could just squeeze my fist and have you choke from across the room, that'd be great.
You know, you're like—you know—I took judo when I was a kid.
Oh, did you?
And my teacher, the sensei, was this old guy that was in Korea. And I was in living in mortal terror of him. Because every now and then he'd demo something.
Well, you'd have to fight him, didn't you, at the end of the class?
Every now and then he'd demo something, right?
Yeah.
And the other kids, I was bigger than, and I could throw them around.
Right.
He'd like just go, and like grab you, and you're like, ah, my shoulder's on fire. And you lived in fear of him, but I respect, he was a good guy. I kind of feel
when I was in fifth grade, and I lived in terror of that class.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
I didn't want to go.
That, I mean, I knew that guy had killed Gooks. So I could see it in his eyes. No. Like, he just, you know.
But I was a small kid. I mean, I was really skinny for my age. I was real small all the time. And
what happened?
I know, it's hard to believe. No. But at the end of the course, you know, I had beat all the other kids because I was older than them, and then I had to fight him, and my feet never touched the ground for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That guy flung me around.
Yeah, just threw you around.
I was in wrestling in high school, and I wrestled some, I think they were like Division II, but they were NCAA champions when I was at wrestling camp in the summer.
Yeah.
And these guys would do like fireman's carries on me and just toss me all over. And then I also, I think it was the Army wrestling team came into our high school once. And they were doing, like, German suplexes on guys and, like, dropping them on their heads.
I
and it was like
how easy it is for three guys to drop into macho mode all of a sudden.
Yeah. We
First we're playing this faggoty-ass music, but now we're talking about wrestling. Isn't that weird?
Come on.
Hope this song.
All right.
Let's get a little more sensitive. Let's take it down a little bit.
When I die. Can I actually go on your computer and delete that? I think I can. If you're on the network, I can actually delete Anthony and the Johnsons. It's a callback to an older
from a song from an album called "I Am a Bird Now."
The guy's a big fag. What do you want, Anthony
music.
And the Johnsons?
Wow.
We don't want to play that. That's not. No Mellotron on there.
Big fag. Send your cards and letters to Joel and Corey Radio, care of Ferndale.
Fabulous, funky, free Ferndale.
But we did a gig. I remember we did a gig. I think it was in South Lyon, Michigan, you and I, Bill.
At a movie
theater. In a movie theater.
After a movie.
Yeah, we had to wait for Dickie Roberts to end. It was the movie there. It was Dickie Roberts, the movie Dave's made. And we waited, and then, like, all these old folks showed up. And, like, we went in there, and, like, and they had the giant spotlight in my eyes. And I was eating it because they were just old and I knew it. And it just it wasn't horrible, but it was not good, you know. So I get done.
No, it was horrible, Joel.
I was walking.
Soft-pedaling it.
Well, I'm not saying my performance wasn't horrible.
You see
the audience, my performance was good. I mean, I thought.
It was just atrocious.
It wasn't what they wanted to hear.
No, I wasn't what they wanted.
But I
people are literally walking to buy, you know, Juju fruits.
No. They were so old.
Yeah.
But I had this giant spotlight
in my
eye.
And get a bun.
And I couldn't see any of the people in the audience. I couldn't see them because there's a giant, like, spotlight that you would be at, like, a theater, you know, like a big giant theater. And this is like a 500-seat movie theater. And it's in my eyes, and I can't see anybody. And I'm like, why am I not doing well? I walk up the aisle after I introduce Bill, the headliner, and I notice about a third of the people are asleep in the audience. They're just sleeping. I mean, is that I suck? It's just that they're old and they're tired.
Oh, yeah.
And they get in a comfortable seat, and then
these agencies don't care where they send you. They get their commission. They don't give a shit what happens after that. Yeah. After they get their money, the whole thing can burn to the ground for all they care.
You know, I like doing VFW halls where, you know, guys landed at Iwo Jima and stuff. You know, they're like, you know.
Yeah.
We were at the Battle of Luzon in the Philippines. And, yeah. You know,
joke boy.
Guys just, not, you know, getting out of the house.
Yeah, it's
you know, the wheelchair van came
the
around.
The comedy road ain't all.
Well, you reach a point where you can start to turn some of that down after a while,
right? And you do. You go out
You know, yeah. Finally, I'm starting to edit my gigs.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to the bank in Flint, John.
We're thinking about editing this show.
Are you?
Yeah.
That might be
in what way?
We're going to cut about 70 minutes out of today's show.
70 minutes?
I don't know. No,
30, no. It's a good show.
Take the 10 you're playing yes and dogging me about it. That's the best part.
That'll be on the best of Corey and Joel Radio CD.
Those guys that would come in for Prague were so annoying when I worked at the record store.
So who else you want to dish dirt on?
I don't know, man. Who else
have
you worked with? You've worked with big names.
Let's talk about the other comics who were on the show before you.
Yeah, do you want to just dog our friends?
Let's talk about those losers.
We had Jim McClain on.
Loser.
P.J. Butland.
Why don't you get somebody who's doing comedy every once in a while?
Wow.
Well, he had good stories.
We had Brewer.
He's even a Mark Bridley sympathy booking.
He built Tim Allen's deck.
You know, well, there is a claim to fame. And that's on his resume, which cracks
is it
up.
Really?
Nothing says funny like being able to swing a hammer.
The guy came in with a freaking cooler.
He's an interesting dude.
Well, then, see, there you are.
Yeah.
And then we had P.J. Butland on the show.
Yeah.
And Bill Bouchard on the show.
Yeah.
You gotta like Bill. Bill's a good comic. Sal D'Amelio was
Bill's
on the
been,
show.
Bill's been on twice.
Yeah, Bill's been on twice. We like Bill so much.
All right.
Sal D'Amelio was on the show. J. Chris Newberg was on the show.
J. Chris.
You haven't dumped on anyone. Steve Brewer was on the show.
No, well, you know, I don't even really know Brewer.
Okay,
that well.
See, there you go. We like Brewer, though. I work with Brewer the other day.
He emails me every once in a while, but we talk about a guy that traveled in different circles. He was part of that Kirk Nolan. Kirk Nolan was kind of like the comedy Christ for a long time.
And really?
And he didn't have friends. He had apostles. You know, he had right. He had
some
guys
people,
that
some
followed
people...
him and spoke of the Kirk. You know? I mean, it's like the Christ, but different. I'm serious.
The Kirk.
There was a bunch
you
of
know,
guys like this.
I don't care if our listeners get this. We enjoy it.
There was Kevin Zioli, J.R. Remick. Yeah. They couldn't put two sentences together without mentioning the Kirk. It was just creepy to me.
Yeah.
You know? I worked with Kirk, and he did this, and I worked with Kirk, and he did that, and and it's like, Jesus Christ.
Well, Bill,
you know?
You're such a beloved figure. Your comics come over to your house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's great. I
yes,
love that.
Yes, they do.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
You had a, describe your who was the one Thanksgiving where everybody was there and it was like.
Oh, I had Al Katz over. Because he was at Chaplin's and he wasn't, you know, and he was there for the Thanksgiving
Bill,
weekend.
Can I ask you? Did he step over the line?
Oh, not only did he step over the line.
That's Al Katz's catchphrase. Yeah. Folks, this is an inside baseball
show. This is very
show.
Inside.
Al, if you ever hear this, Al, you wouldn't shut up. All you wanted to do is talk about your road gigs. And then, you know, when you got Zykowski throwing kerosene on your fire.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, tell me about my Minnetonka
mom,
again.
It's like Leno with a little more annoying.
I'm trying to do.
Oh, God.
But you were like the home for like displaced comics
well,
on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
talking about bad credits, the guy you just mentioned, okay? He was an extra on the movie 61, which they shot at Tiger Stadium.
He met Billy Crystal. You didn't meet Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal came out after makeup and one morning went, "Hey, everybody," and waved at the 10,000 people. The guy's an extra, and he'll be like, "You see me in 61?
That's how you. That's how he gets introduced on stage.
The guy will like give you the tracking numbers on the DVD to slow it down, and if you freeze frame it, if you got picture in picture, you can isolate. What? He's in the crowd behind the guy with the hot dog with the mustard on it.
That's how you can find me in the rows.
No, you're in the
thank
rows?
God
you're
for,
in the rows?
Thank God for DVD.
What did you do in the rows?
I was an extra.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where in what scene? Anything?
The finale, the final scene.
Oh, okay.
You can't put extra work on your bio. PJ,
why not?
PJ
Everybody
put
does.
PJ goes, he was seen in Spider-Man.
Oh.
No, he wasn't. He's in PJ's
he's
like,
in Spider-Man, but he can't see him.
No, PJ's running from the Green Goblin in a crowd of 40,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're still there.
Yeah, okay.
Let him fly. If somebody calls you on it, you gotta tell them what it was you did.
Literally, guys go, I'm in 8 Mile. I'm walking behind him, and I'm behind him in the alley, in the hallway.
I tell people I was on Conan, and I was
second
part
row.
Of a bit in Conan. No, but they did a bit where they went to the crowd, and I was one of the guys that was in the crowd, so I was on Conan.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I was on Conan.
He's on Conan.
I was on Conan.
Listen to him.
You're listening to a comedian that was seen on Conan. You bastards.
But anyway, I've heard horror stories about this Thanksgiving with a bunch of drunken comedians.
Yeah.
And,
but you're not repeating
no,
that this
not
year?
Not even drunk.
No.
I was the only one that ever drank. The rest of them are drier than a bone. I think that's my aggravation.
Really?
They're annoying and they're not even drinking. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. But now, who else have you worked with? Big names. Forget about the guys on our show. You hate all
Drew
those
Carey
guys.
We used to drink beer with all the time.
Yeah?
Drew Carey is a really nice guy.
And not only that, and I was in human resources for 12 years, and the fact that his sitcom is around a human resource guy, I take credit for that.
In what
because,
way?
Because...
Oh, you're stretching
no,
now.
No, now Drew Carey's
stretching.
So old from
no,
you.
Well, all right. You're going to have me, you know, give me a chance
all
to plead
right, go
my
ahead.
Case.
No, go ahead.
And then... On dope?
That's right. We'll
and then bang the gavel and say, guilty, he's lying. But he was going to be just a store clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in human resources for years, and I said, you know, if you're an HR guy, you know, that gives you an opportunity to everybody hates the HR guy. He's, you know, the guy that hires and fires, and regardless of what you do, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny position. And he thought about that for a second. I said, you know, just... and. It was just over a beer, and now he turns off being the HR guy at that store in his sitcom, and I kind of think I planted that seed. Now, is there a reason to believe I can't say to myself, gee, he actually listened to what I had to say? He was going to be a clerk, because he thought being a clerk was funnier,
mm-hmm.
dealing with the customers. And I said, no, be the HR guy.
Mm. Mm.
No. No. Mm. Call me a liar.
Okay.
Don't be such a fucking chump.
I just, come on. I don't know. I mean,
it's. I mean, look. It's.
I have met Drew Carey, and he's a really cool guy.
I will give
shout out to Drew.
You couldn't
Drew
wait
Carey.
To get off stage to have a beer.
That he is totally that Cleveland blue collar thing. He's totally.
That's exactly.
That is not an act at all.
And
some
he's
guys
very approachable, and he likes to. He talks, and he's
you know,
very outgoing.
Some of these guys, like, they put on an act, like they come on, you know, like they go up and they're like doing a show, and then they come off like Larry the Cable Guy. I hear shits on satin sheets. That's what he won't take it in the toilet. He just shits on satin sheets, and then he has his hand man, his foot man come and wrap it up.
In Chattanooga 5 years ago. His name is Dan Whitney. He's got no real accent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a real Southerner.
Where's he from?
He just cranks. He's from Florida.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he sounds like
that's
a Florida guy. And he just cranks it up to
no, wait. Florida is
the
South.
It's the South, but it's not redneck.
I mean, what part of Florida?
Well, what difference does that make?
What does make a difference? Because Jacksonville is goddamn hillbilly country.
Well, all right.
Well, and Miami, Tallahassee is rednecks.
Right, right.
You know.
But, you know.
Okay, well, that's understandable.
You know, I mean, that's...
But we, no, we've worked with guys. Remember the guy who was like, hey, how you doing, Miner? Hey, how you doing? You
had
Yeah. And then
put
the guy,
his cowboy
then
hat
the guy
on.
Puts his cowboy hat and walks on stage. How y'all doing?
What was that guy's name? I forgot.
John Wesley Austin, is that
you'd be,
his name?
You'd be talking to him in the hallway, and then I'd go introduce him. I'm like, now give it up for John Wesley. Well, yeah. He's like, hey, I'm gonna take about 5 minutes extra at the end. Can you just wrap it? I'm like, sure.
Yeah,
give him a John Wesley. We're howdy, y'all.
Yeah,
woo!
Same shit.
Put
same
on a
stuff.
Cowboy hat and shit kicker boots.
Not genuine.
No, yeah. This is genuine bitterness and disappointment
now,
over here.
Now talk about
this is genuine.
Talk about famous guys that we know that we've been together in embarrassing situations. Greg Giraldo.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah.
Falling asleep
yeah.
in a soup at Mr.
Yeah,
B's
that's
and,
true. Greg, we tried not to out Greg on that, but yeah, Greg Giraldo, who hosts.
All right, you don't have to say a word.
Whatever. Go ahead. Tell the
I
Greg.
I can't believe here's Greg Giraldo. He's got his own goddamn show. Who knows what he's worth?
He was on
at the time. He was on Tough Crowd.
He was
with
on
Colin
Tough
Quinn.
Crowd with Colin Quinn at the time, and here we are. He and I are at Bart's arguing over who's going to do free stage
time.
Well,
this is the greatest thing.
I mean, that's all-time low
that.
In
so,
both of our careers.
I'm the host.
Man.
I'm the host of Club Bart. It's an open mic comedy show. Our buddy Bill Bouchard, who's been on the show, was over at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak opening for Greg Giraldo. I said, "Hey, bring Giraldo by if you can." He was all right. So he, what do you know? Greg Giraldo shows up. He's a big star, and I'm all shaking in my boots because I don't, you know, I don't want to offend the big. So I don't even ask him to go on stage. I'm just and you're sitting there hanging out like sometimes you do. And having a drink at the bar, Bill. And I go, and finally, Giraldo, he pulls me aside. I introduced myself to him, and he goes, "Hey, Matt, can I get like 5 minutes?" And I'm like, "Well, of course you can have 5 minutes, Greg. Don't worry about it." Well, then, well, you said you wanted 5 minutes because Greg was there. Then Greg wanted 5 minutes, so I had to bump you to put Greg on. And you start yelling at me because you want the time, and Greg Giraldo wants the time. And I'm like, "Fuck you, Hildebrand. I'm giving it to Giraldo, the guy's on TV."
I couldn't believe it.
And nor I would never do that to you.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
was that me or him?
I don't know either. So I'm still fascinated by this
clicking through clips.
But then
this Thanksgiving thing.
Oh, okay.
What?
Guys show up at your house for Thanksgiving.
No, they don't show up. They're invited.
Oh, okay. They don't just knock on the door.
If you guys, this year, if you wanted to show up, feel free to show up.
Okay.
Nobody's going to be there.
Where's everybody going
to
be?
My daughters are coming over, and because they're coming over, I'm going to have to cook a turkey. So I'm going to have all this turkey. I'm going to find out who's at Chaplin's, if it's some wayward guy that's got nowhere to be.
Okay.
And I'll call him up and say, come on over. But it's not like I make this open invite to anybody who's homeless.
Because I have heard from an inside source about the comics being just drunk and horrible and hanging out at the house. On Thanksgiving.
None of them drink.
Really? Let's go to the tail of tape. I've got MySpace pulled up here. Let's take a look at what your stepdaughter's up to and see what she's got going on here.
Why you gotta do that?
No, I don't know. She told me that like the comics would come over and just drive.
Yeah, that's how he has inside info.
Yeah, they drive us nuts, but they wouldn't drink.
Really? Kramus and Leo and those guys wouldn't show
they've
up?
They've never been over.
They've never been over? Okay, that's a rumor.
Not for Thanksgiving.
For Christmas, maybe. Then it's a big old party.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Christmas Eve, there's a clusterfuck.
Wow. Oh, so Thanksgiving's not the problem. It's Christmas. Oh, it's all clear now.
Oh, come on. No one's over Thanksgiving. It's totally normal. No. Christmas. That's when all the comics get drunk.
Even Jabba the Hutt enjoyed that.
That was great.
I thought that was Leo DeFour. Sure. Give me another Jaeger.
Bill's, Bill's doing three shots for Kennedy.
Well,
here.
Yeah, exactly. Kennedy. Some people say there was as many as six shots, Bill. It's hard to tell. It's very the jumbled the recording.
Well, because of the acoustics, of, I've been to Daily Pleasant.
Exactly.
I can tell you, you clap your hands and it's like you hear four of them. You know,
and you know,
it can
the
be
police,
very confusing.
The
so
police,
in honor of that confusion, I'll
the police
have
motorcycle radio channel was left open.
I heard that argument also.
I'm not going to be outdone here with the shots.
Oh, now Joel's doing a hot
fire
damn.
One up here.
Okay. All I know is I was in fifth grade and they canceled all my favorite shows for three goddamn days. I wasn't happy about that.
Really? All right. Corey's going to pour himself one here before we.
I remember where I was, where Kennedy was shot.
Yeah, who needs drunk girls with big tits, Corey? This is so much
more
fun.
Yeah, we were
going
to do this with women, but you know what? Screw this.
Fuck them.
Screw this.
This is so much more
who
fun.
Who needs that? We got buddies. All right, there. Here
we go.
Just remember, women are like dog shit. The older they get, the easier they are to pick up. There's a toast for
that's
you.
That's depressing, it but although,
but it's accurate.
Mm. Wow, that's like vodka and butter.
I like that stuff.
Ow,
Jaeger's good.
Oh my! No! I had the vodka that time.
Yeah, you had the vodka.
Wow, maybe I should have stuck with the Jaeger.
Well, Bill.
We were going to be in the hot tub with sisters.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here drinking with you.
Hey, I'll hot tub with you.
Oh, yeah, you want to hot tub with us, Bill?
Snuggles.
Let's do it, baby.
I'll hot tub with
you. Oh, come on, Snuggle Bumps. Let's get in there and get all cozy.
Oh.
Oh, we never did live down the hot tub show. We did.
Did you ever have a kid that was like that in your neighborhood?
What's that?
You know, it just never sounded right the way you said it. I mean, you know, you're only like third grade, but you look at you and go, play with you. You know,
really?
That just never sounded. Play with you.
How do I get up to Marion? Is
this
it
kid?
Five or what?
No, if I don't go to Marion, you got to take your 11. You cross over the street on Evans and you get transferred.
You ever meet her?
On Evans.
No. Yeah.
Rosie, you're not Rosie, right?
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah.
I didn't know who that was.
Look what I'm doing.
This kid.
I'm not going to Cookie Mountain.
This is from the classic Riding the Bus with My Sister.
She played a retard. We pulled some clips from that. Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell was my first paying gig.
Well, how was that?
Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay.
It's a nightmare.
Why was that?
And it has nothing to do with Rosie. So
oh, really?
It was a nightmare.
I'm not sure you want to hear the story because it doesn't have to do with her. She was all right.
Was she?
And she actually had a girlfriend with her at the time, so it was no secret that she was gay to us.
It was no secret to anyone else.
And this is like 1989, you know, so that was no big deal. But it's my first paying gig, and I get there, and the place is sold out, and I'm nervous as hell, and I'm just there for Friday. They don't need me for Saturday. And the guy that used to own the club, Kirkland Teeple, the Ann Arbor Comedy Club, who's now dead, committed suicide 4 years ago.
I heard his funeral was quite a to-do.
Yeah, talk about comics at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Talk about nobody showing up for that. Anyway, that's another story.
All right.
So they go, okay, Bill, and I only had 10 minutes.
Joel just hit himself with the microphone.
In the tooth, yeah. But go ahead. I've done
it's
that
good
before.
Good thing we get
go
that
ahead.
Shock mount.
Yeah, the shock mount.
Oh, my God.
For what you paid for that mic, you won't be able to pay for that tooth.
No, I'm good. Go ahead, man.
But they go, Bill, all right, you only got to go up and do 10 minutes, but Kirkland's not here yet. So as soon as he gets here, we'll light you and then just get right off. Don't do any time. I'm going, all right, fine. And it's my first paying gig. The place is jammed, and it's going all right, but I've only got 10 minutes.
Right.
And I get through that 10, and there's no light.
Yeah.
Now, light, ladies and gentlemen, is normally a little light placed somewhere in the ceiling or towards the back of the room. It's usually red. It flashes on, and that's when you know it's time to get off. And I'm waiting for that light.
Supposedly.
In the air. 5 minutes later, I'm doing jokes from third grade. I'm bankrupt. I finally get a note on a napkin, and I open it up, and it says, you know, in big writing, very kindly, get the fuck off the stage. Well, I get off, and the guy who was the manager, you know, Kirkland goes up, the owner goes up and does his, he's doing his time, and the manager says to me, he says, man, Kirkland's really pissed. And I go, why? The light never went. He says, the light's broke. Didn't you see that lighter at the back of the room? I was new. I didn't know what that meant. I say, I thought I was doing great. People were lighting their damn bics back there. He says, that meant get off.
Oh, man.
And I had no idea. So this Kirkland guy gets off the stage. Now, I've been yelled at by people before.
Really?
But not like this.
Surprising.
Really? In
this
your three marriages, you've been yelled at?
I thought is. I'll tell you what, I've actually been bawled out by Lee Iacocca.
Really?
But because of that, getting bawled out by Kirkland Teeple from Ann Arbor, you know, I was able to put it in perspective.
Sure.
But this guy went ballistic. But the thing is, you know,
this is the typical audience member to Bill.
Oh, fuck you! Fuck the lot of you! Fuck you
all.
Was that Kirkland?
That was it. That was exactly what he sounded like.
That's a typical audience member. No, yeah.
But to all you comics who might listen to this, both of you.
Yeah, all three of you.
You know, the moral of the story is do your fucking time. I mean, you know, nobody's ever really gotten yelled at for it. I've never seen anybody get berated for not doing their time, except for one time when I was in Vegas where they're known for that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, there isn't a guy, I haven't worked with a guy in the past year who said, yeah, I'm going to go up and do 30 minutes. 40 minutes later, I'm still looking at my watch going, what the fuck? And I get so tired of that. You know,
You can do 25 if you're scheduled to do 30. It's usually not a big deal.
You know,
but don't go up and do 15 when you're supposed to do 30.
Right.
No, just do your time. Do what you're told to do. Yeah. I mean, Christ. I never did that to anybody. I could have, you know, I had plenty of chances where I said, fuck this. I could go long. I really got them where I want them. I've never done that.
But you, yeah.
And what do I, and my reward for never doing that is everybody fucking does it to me and it drives me nuts.
But you've done a lot of big shows. You've done like theaters and you've opened for bands and that. And those are sometimes opportunities where you're like, you got a big crowd. You want to rock. You want to kill. You want to do your best.
Yeah, but you want to also do what they tell you to do and play by the rules so you can come back and get invited back again.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah, if I was like, you know, if you're big enough, like the Doors, where, you know, Sullivan said, don't say, you know, we're getting higher. And he said, fuck you. And he said it anyway, you know, on Ed Sullivan. I'm talking about the Doors just for you, Corey, because I know you probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do.
I mean, you can break the rules if you're fucking famous.
Well, didn't the Stones blow that up, too?
Yeah, they did the same
thing. They were supposed to do Let's Spend the Night Together.
Yeah.
And they wondered it.
Let's spend some time together. But anyway, I'm just saying.
They did that on The Simpsons. They had the Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And they changed their lyrics, and they were like, you know, that's right. Now everyone can enjoy that. That's better.
Who have you opened for in that setting, in the outdoor environment?
I just did the Doobie Brothers, and I did Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of concerts for unknown bands over in Canada, but it was just a lot of people.
That, yeah.
You know, you
did the Doobie Brothers?
Here we get high, Joe.
Oh, that was for me? Thank you.
I'm just wondering. The Doobie Brothers.
The Doobie Brothers.
Well, no. Oh, that's a typo. I actually did a Doobie with the brothers.
But you meet any of those guys? Did you say hi to Huey Lewis or anything?
Yeah, they were fine. I mean, they're all backstage kind of milling around waiting for their deal. You know, if you're part of the show, then you're
I don't know what people expect from celebrities. I've met a lot of celebs, and very few of them are unpleasant. Vince Vaughn, you are a dick. But other than that...
Vaughn, cock.
Soupy Sales isn't a giant celebrity, but the guy really taught me about how to deal with those folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that you do it is, you know, avoid the small talk. Because he used to complain about that. He said the two things that used to drive nuts is people, you know, just make small talk if you're at a little party or something. And say, so, you know, when does your plane leave? Well, leaves on Monday. What the fuck do you care? You're not going to be there to see me off. You know, what kind of a question is that? Right. That leaves on Monday. What fucking difference does it make to you? And the other one is you know, what you really need to do is come over to our house and have a home-cooked meal. I bet you haven't had a home-cooked meal in a long time.
They don't want.
And in his mind, you know, he's telling me, he's saying, I eat in some of the best restaurants, you know, in the United States. What the fuck do I want with your home cooked meal? I mean, that's exactly the way he put it.
Guys don't want a home cooked meal because that's why they do the road.
They want to get away from their wife
and their freaking stupid children and the dog and the mortgage, and that's why they're on the road.
But I always said, you know, avoid the small talk. He says, don't be afraid to be silent. If you're riding in a car together, you don't have to be yakking at the guy all the time. Just drive.
Yeah.
Bill, I got to say, this is the easiest show you've ever done because I've talked about 10 minutes in the whole show. This is a really amazing show.
Well, Joel called me and said, try to keep Corey to 10 minutes.
Okay, good.
I think he's holding
me
back.
You kept me on the bench. I feel like the slot receiver in the West Coast.
You've done fine. You've done well.
Bill is a fountain of stories and information.
A fountain of information.
Meanwhile, these two giggle slaps we were going to have in here. These two.
Well, maybe we'll do that.
No more broads on the show.
Well, we say that, but we know our audience wants. We said no more comics because we had so many comics on, and we were doing comic, and now we're going to do some chicks.
You have girls naked.
You
have girls on the show, and then they have buyer's remorse afterwards.
They do.
You have girls on the show, and they go, Did I talk about golden showers? Did I do
shots?
Yeah,
we did that with a girl.
Did I talk about my vagina? And then they're like, you know.
You need to edit this out.
Did I masturbate? Did I talk about masturbating on the show? And then they're mad at us. Like I was the demon that got inside their fucking stupid yap slot head and told them to start talking about their pussy. No, it comes out of them. And they're like, oh, I'm the puppet master. I'm the evil puppet master. I'm Geppetto. I stuck a hand in their ass and started, woo, manipulating. Such bullshit. I'm tired of women on this show. I'm tired of women in real life. Oh, hi.
Pull the string.
Listen.
Pull the string.
It's true. Girls come on the show, and then afterwards they go, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. I'm so embarrassed I'm on the show.
They couldn't wait to say it.
Yeah.
Then they're trying to repair the damage personally with you afterwards. Fuck.
Well, women are, you know, women are different.
No, nobody wants
that's
to be
honest.
That's
why from now on we're only having comedy club with
you. Women be different from men. What are you going to do, wait, man?
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's women be different from men.
It was Sinbad, a la The Simpsons. Yeah,
absolutely.
The Simpsons, yes. Speaking of women,
look at my phone going off.
Oh boy,
speaking it's a little of lady, but that's okay. We'll talk to her later.
Is this going on now, or is this for broadcast later?
No, this is a podcast. People can get this whenever they want. We got to post it. It's got to be posted.
It's got to be posted, so it's not actually going out now. It's going
to
be posted.
No, we're recording
first.
It live in one go.
Well, I know you're recording it live.
If we needed, to edit it, we could edit it afterwards. But we try not to because it makes it easier in post. Yeah, this will be up in the next, probably either tonight or tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Live so on you tape. You can decide who to tell to listen and who not to. So I guess Kirk Nolan will not be getting a phone call.
I'm not calling Jim McLean, I'll tell you that.
We have girls come on the show, and then they tell their grandma, they tell their buddy, and their Zater.
Like, I'm going to be on a radio show.
The whole family.
And then we talk to them about their cup
Aunt
size.
And Aunt Sally, and I'm talking about, you know, what's...
Booby and their Zater.
Yeah, they're Booby and they're Zater, and you know the whole Tia and
then
Tia.
They're pissed at us, and it's like
whatever, you know, abuela if you're Latina. and then I ask
and your whore, and your
and
bitch.
Then I ask them, I'm like, what's the biggest coon cock you've ever had in your mouth?
Oh,
and they're
shocked by that. We don't talk about
right after Joel talks about editing, you come out with that
the coon cock line. Yeah,
shit, man, thing. God damn.
There's a little Queensryche, Corey's racist stuff.
Yeah!
You know what? The whole Queensryche thing, which Bill is looking at me like, what the fuck is that? He's actually rocking out to Queensryche.
That's the only joke we've kept from day one.
That's an inside super joke from
you
show number two.
You have to listen
two.
To show number two.
Two, because, we talked about Queensryche. Do you know? You want to know what that is, or do you not even care?
No, go ahead.
Well, we have a guy named PJ, who's our friend, who said we were racist on show number one. So to placate PJ, every time somebody made a racist remark, we'd play his favorite band in the world, which is Queensryche. Hence the last comment.
I don't know why we still do
it. Queensryche,
and
41 shows later, we're still playing it, and it still entertains no one but us. You're looking at me like a fucking... I don't know.
Oh. What I'm saying is, girls, if you're coming on this show, know what you're getting into.
Right. We're guys. We're going to talk to you about the size of your boobs.
Coy and demure.
We're
going
to talk to you about sex. We're going to talk to you about your period. We're going to talk to you about all that
stuff.
That's
funny.
All that shit that fascinates us.
Well, whatever. I mean, we're guys.
We don't have a period.
We know our audience. That's what guys want to hear, though. You know, we do the show for
personally,
the
period doesn't really fascinate me.
Well,
I can
whatever.
Skip talking about
okay.
that. But, you know, but you're right. They come on and they say stuff and they go, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. And then they find out people actually have heard it.
Yeah.
You know, people call them and go, I heard you on the Corey and Joel radio. Yeah. You go, yeah, that's the point. These people are supposed to hear you.
Well, everybody
takes it's not like, look, this is not the Tonight Show. It's not like, you know. 30 million people.
Yeah, we can say whatever the hell we want. We don't have any censor. We can post whatever we want.
You know.
Bill, anyone can listen.
Bill
to?
Will admit to anything. Frankly, he already admitted to acid dropping. So I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. What?
Yeah,
I admit to it. I'm the minority as opposed to
acid kind of scared me a little bit.
It scared me. I only did it twice. And that was it. I said, "How with this?"
I love that twice. You were so scared of it.
I was
you had to do it a second time to make sure it scared you.
I had to go back to that other planet and find those brain cells I left behind. I thought maybe I could recover part of myself back.
Yeah.
Holy cow!
You were like. Man, that coyote ran away with my soul. I gotta get it back from that son of a bitch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've done mezcal, which is like the same root.
Yeah.
I got it in Mexico. It's the liquid sort of version of mescaline. Yeah. So I've done that. That was crazy.
Absinthe.
I've done absinthe. You ever have absinthe? That's another liqueur. I got it in England. It's the green fairy. It makes you hallucinate. Right.
Oh, absinthe is... we were at a party last summer, and... It was some weird, like, big, you know, there's all these weird, like, loft things that people build. And, like, this was an old drugstore. that they turned into a house. And, like, the kitchen was in the middle of it, and it was just somebody lived there, but it was this big dance party. And I started rooting around in the cabinets, you know, and because there was some booze out there, and I went, there might be some good stuff. Found a bottle of absinthe, like, yeah. Czech absinthe, like the real thing. And so I'm like, oh, shit. And I told my one buddy, and I'm like, let's do a little shot of this. And he's like, okay. About 20 minutes later, half the bottle's gone, and it's like, getting passed around to girls, and the guy's like, he's like, oh, I don't think we should do that. That's somebody else's booze. I don't think we... What?
Absinthe. I got absinthe in England, and I think it was, at the time, this is 5 years ago, I think it was $48 US for a bottle of it. Good stuff.
I was going to say, it's about 5 years ago, 1948, right around here somewhere.
That stuff's evil.
It is.
Once though, I was so high and drunk, we were in Canada, and my buddy had dropped acid. Two of us were smoking weed and drinking, and the other one was just blown out of his mind drunk because he was British. And so we were like trying to decide who was going to drive back home. And we were like, well, we can't let the foreign national drive home. We can't let the Brit here on his visa will expire. We're too fucked up. Let the guy on acid drive home. That was our plan. So the guy on acid had to go through customs. That was, good times.
And way to go, man.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And then there you have the makings of a Leo de Forbit.
Yeah.
Cousins, yeah. Guys from China.
Oh, boy.
So how deep is this tunnel?
Let's get some plugs in here. I think I'm a little lit up from the hot damn, I'll be honest with you. But anyone else feeling the effects of alcohol?
I had three thimbles of booze.
Hey, it's early in the day. So, folks, thank you for listening. We're going to get out. Let's do a couple of plugs. Me and Bill Hildebrandt, December 30th and 31st. It's New Year's Eve. Joey's in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
Joey's Comedy Club. Come out and see us at Paisano's, Joey's in Dearborn. It's going to be a good time.
Where are you at New Year's, Corey?
I'm at home.
You can come down and do like a good little guest host thing if you want me to.
Oh, sure.
Look at that. It's an
I mean, especially if people show up in the radio show.
Wow.
Well,
our listeners are in Denmark.
That's
it's
the
weird.
Problem.
It's,
all our guys are in Australia and crap.
But if you do want to see Corey and me live, you can go December 1st. That's next week on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Club Bart in Ferndale, Michigan. We'll put all the info on the website for that. Come see us at Club Bart. We're going to do the show live. You guys can actually be part of the show. You can talk on it. We're going to have lots of good stand-up comedy there. We got some great comics lined up. You know the guys we've lined up.
Yeah, sure.
John Tortolot, Russ Brown.
Is that who we...
Yeah, pretty much. Chill.
Show
and
favorite
Mike
Chill
Lundy.
Will be on.
Show.
We haven't had... Chill's our sports reporter, and we haven't had him on in a while, and... I want him to discuss the NHL rules.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have Chill on. He's a black guy, by the way. Yeah. He talks about hockey. We had him talk about tennis the first time.
Yeah.
See, that's the bit. Do you get
it? He's going to cover the Olympics.
Talk about the USO.
Bob's
luge.
Bobsledding.
Figure skating.
Yeah.
Figure skating.
All the inner city sports.
Figure skating. So, I like black people, man. Don't get me wrong.
We love black people. So.
I was in Iowa.
There's black people in Iowa?
No, that's my point.
Breaking news.
I went into a Burger King. There wasn't a single black guy in the kitchen. I had to spit in my own burger just to feel at home.
All right, so you really do got to wrap up.
You feel a little uncomfortable, though, working. You're like, white guy's bussing dishes at, like, the, you know, Denny's, you go, what the hell's wrong with this country?
All right.
You know, I love what they're doing for the culture. They're changing the language. That's why we got bling. They can't say sparkle.
I feel that. For real, dog.
Say sparkle.
For
real,
Bill, thank you for coming
in. Mad love to Bill.
Don't forget, email us if you want to get a hold of us. Email at CoreyAngelRadio.com. You want to plug your website, Bill, while we're here?
FunnyBaldGuy.com.
FunnyBaldGuy.com. Go look up
and
Bill.
And the album is called Night on Bald Mountain.
Night on Bald Mountain. You can get that on there, too, and at the shows, at the live show. Don't forget, CoreyAngelRadio.com. All the shows are up there. Talk about the show in the forum, and we'll see you next time.
Now here's more Joel's beer fart music. This is
the Cooper Temple Club.
And now here's five in a row from Yes. Followed by
Emerson. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
We're going to be playing all of Led Zeppelin 4. Here it comes. All right. And then Neil Peart from Rush will be live in studio to play his drums, all 45 pieces.